Who here is a side sleeper? I am a side sleeper. Okay. So if you're a side sleeper, tell me if you've experienced this. This happens to me from time to time. Especially if I kind of get the wrong position and I jam my hand under the pillow the wrong way. And so I wake up in the middle of the night and like I have an arm that is, it's almost like it's, I can't feel it. I can't move it. It's just like, what just happened? Who has experienced that? Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'm not alone. Okay. So I've learned that that is something called paresthesia. It's this medical thing and even though we call it our arms falling asleep, I guess it's not actually cutting off the blood to our entire arm. But what it does do is it cuts off the blood to the nerves to our arm, apparently. But it's weird, isn't it? When you wake up and you're in this thing that's usually works, it's like it's not even attached anymore. And it takes several minutes. Now, I remember times I'm just sort of shaking it, like, what's going on? And then it's the feeling slowly starts to return. It gets all tingly, and you go, oh, good, I can move my fingers. Thank you, Jesus, you know? The reason I bring that up is because over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be doing a really deep dive into one of the foundational metaphors of the church. We are the body of Christ. So we're gonna look at that metaphor from a number of different angles, and in particular, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you today to turn to chapter 12. We're going to be especially looking at verses 12 through 14 and then diving deep into verse 13. But before we do, let's just do a quick... So the Apostle Paul, this is actually the dominant metaphor for the church in the New Testament. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, there is one, key word, what's that word? One body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, or in his letter to the Romans. For just as each of you has one body with many members, Romans 12, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Or in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, says he, meaning Christ, is the head of the body, the church. So the church is a body. So now let's lock in on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So keep that passage in front of you, especially verse 13. So now if you've been in church a while, you've probably heard this idea of the body of Christ before. I get that. But I wanted to take that metaphor and this passage and just as we start the series off, just look at it from a number of different angles, maybe including some angles you haven't looked at it before. You know, God's word is a lot like a diamond. Like, wouldn't it be great to have a diamond as big as the one I'm imagining? But a diamond, but when as you turn a diamond in the light, you see all these different elements from the diamond. God's word is like that. So we're going to look at it from a number of different angles this morning. Starting with this one. Why that metaphor? Why? I mean, I realize Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but why talk about the church as a body? There's all these other ways that we can talk about groups of people. I did a little bit of research into like first century Roman literature this past week. And there are some Roman writers who refer to the like groups of people as a body, but nobody writes on this level. I mean, this is a pretty unique metaphor. As far as we can tell, this is the first time a group of people as a body has been developed literarily to this degree in history. Why not use something else? Like, why not refer to the church as an army, for example? You're the army of Christ. And I realize there are a few references in the New Testament that might suggest a bit of that. Like when Christ returns with the army of God, we will come to meet him in the air. So there's some of those references. There are other metaphors for the church as the family of God. That's very true. Or the church as the bride of Christ. That's very true. And yet the metaphor that Paul develops the most in his writing is the metaphor of the body. Not that those other ones like the family and the bride of Christ, those are certainly true, but he spends the most time on this one. We are the body of Christ. I mean, why didn't Paul use a metaphor like a technological metaphor? Like Paul would be really familiar with boats. We are the boat of Christ. And, you know, some of you are oars and some of you are sails and some of you are bailing buckets. But Jesus is the rudder. He steers the ship. I mean, on some level, that would be true. But I think as we take a closer look, we're going to see why Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used this metaphor. The body. You and I, we together are the body of Christ. Hey, let's put verse 13 up on the screen. And if you don't mind, John, let's keep it up there for a little while. And let's say this together. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. So let's take a look at it from the angle of how. If this is true, how did we become one body? What does this passage tell us? By one spirit, so as to form one body. Let's think about that a little bit. If someone was to ask you, is Jesus physically present in the world today? How would you answer that question? In everything? I mean, he's spiritually present, right? Uh-huh. We know he was physically present in the incarnation. He was born, you know, placed in a manger, and he grew up as a little boy, and he had, younger brothers and sisters and a mom and a dad. And then in his earthly ministry, he taught, he healed, he walked on water, he fed the 5,000, he was crucified, and he died, and he rose again. And that was all physical presence in the earth. And we know that one day Christ will return in physical form to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. But is he physically present today, like right now? Yes. How? Through us. That tells us this is a lovely metaphor, but this is a metaphor with meat, literally. This is a metaphor with meat on it, literally. It tells us that we together, corporately, all who follow Jesus everywhere, people from every tribe and race and language and tongue, all who follow Jesus everywhere, all who have received the free gift of salvation, it comes to all who receive it through Christ and are filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Something different happens in us. Something new lives inside of you and me if you've ever received Christ in your life. And because there's something new living in you, there is Christ on some level by the Spirit living in you. And so through us, we are Christ's body. Is Jesus physically present in the world today?
Yes.
Through each other. In each other. Tap your neighbor. What does Jesus feel like? Together. Now, not any one of us individually, but all of us together. That if we believe God's word, that's what it's saying. That together we are the body of Christ. Is Jesus physically present in the world today? Yes. Through us. Now, that doesn't mean that we together always represent Jesus really well. If you've ever been hurt by the church, and I assume that there's been times that you have been, because we do really dumb things sometimes, really hurtful things sometimes. We may have the Spirit of Christ living in our midst, but that doesn't mean that we are always living in alignment with that Spirit. There's plenty of people who say they're following Jesus that don't seem to incarnate Christ very fully. But his presence among us is not dependent on how well we do it. It's dependent on the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Is Jesus physically present in the world today?
Yes.
How? By the Spirit living in you and you and you and you and me and us and all who follow Jesus everywhere. So that's the how. What about the who? So who is included in this? For we were all, that's the word, right? We were all baptized by one Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean absolutely every person that ever lived, but that what that does mean is that all who have received Christ as their Savior and Lord have received the Holy Spirit. And so there is something new living inside me, you, them, us, all together. That tells us something. I mean, the Church of God, capital C, Church of God, all who follow Jesus everywhere, the body of Christ is, without any exaggeration, the most diverse organization, organism, people group on the planet. The most diverse. Healthy local churches are an expression of that kind of a diversity. Realize not every church has that level of diversity. I'm grateful for the diversity we have in our congregation here, and I long for more of it. That we can be more fully reflective of the body of Christ as it exists in the Wenatchee Valley. All who follow Jesus everywhere are part of his body. And that changes our relationship with one another, doesn't it? I mean, if we really believe passages like this, then all of the kind of racial stuff that we see happening around us, it all dismantles because we are all one in Christ. Because we're all equal in Christ. Because we've all been filled by the same Spirit of Christ to form one body of Christ. The church, when it's healthy, has tremendous and beautiful diversity. where we respect and recognize and even celebrate the cultural differences between us, and where there's a beautiful equality because we know that we are all sinners who have been saved by grace. And so we're all equal. The ground, this is the old saying, the ground is level at the cross, isn't it? How about this? So we've looked at the who. How about the what? We are one body. One body. This might seem like for a moment just a little bit of a bunny trail diversion here, but I actually think it ends up being really, really practical for our understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. Even in the last 2 weeks, there's been some major, major developments in artificial intelligence. Have you seen that? We are ready as a nation over the next 4 years to spend $500 billion on a supercomputer or a network of supercomputers. $500 billion. In other words, we are entering into, on some level, an information arms race. And there may be some very good reason for us to do so. So we're investing like crazy in AI. Or if you're following all the stories, DeepSeek, it's a Chinese company that has apparently been able to have an open source AI engine that is pretty good. Granted, it's also using property that it stole from ChatGPT, who is currently also in lawsuits because of all the creators from whom ChatGPT stole content. But we're in this global, like, AI race, and AI can do some incredible things. Who here ever uses AI on any level? I do. I mean, whether that's ChatGPT, Gemini, if I'm writing, I'm using Grammarly all the time. Wonderful, helpful tools, you know, for being able to summarize research or to come up with really great ideas and to write better papers, which right now I'm doing quite a bit of. It can be a really, really helpful tool. But even, you know, this idea, like we're on the cusp of some really revolutionary technology that also can be quite scary, yes, that has tremendous potential for good and some tremendous potential for evil. Tremendous potential to mimic other things and have one thing portraying itself to be another thing. There's some legitimately scary stuff out there. But what I wanted us to think about together for a moment are some of the inherent limitations in AI that actually help us better understand what it means to be the body of Christ. Think about this with me. If you went to ChatGPT and you typed in, what is a really great recipe for chocolate chip cookies? That incredible supercomputer would scan perhaps millions of recipes for chocolate chip cookies, and it would run statistical data and analysis to figure out, like, what are the most popular recipes for chocolate chip cookies, and it will give you a recipe for chocolate chip cookies that you know is going to be really, really good. And let me see your eyes. It will have never once tasted a chocolate chip cookie. It has absolutely no idea. The technology, by its nature, is blind, deaf, tasteless, scentless, has no feeling. Nor does it even remember, you know, how your grandma used to make the very, very best chocolate chip cookies. And it doesn't understand how the reason why they tasted so good is because of the unique water that came from the well in her backyard. and the perfume that she used to wear, or the fact that there was lavender in the front yard. It'll miss all of that. It can show you, it can, as it already has been, it can produce, reproduce what we would think of as the world's greatest artwork, the Rembrandts, the Picassos, the whatever it is, it can reproduce it like with incredible precision. And as robotics gets better and better and better and better, it'll be able to even physically reproduce it in ways that would be almost indistinguishable from the original. And yet it will never understand why your eyes well up every single time when you look at a hand-drawn picture of your four-year-old grandchild on the fridge. It will never understand that. It can't. Friends, we are the body of Christ. The body. We are gloriously, wonderfully embodied. You are not the supercomputer of Christ. We are not the hive mind of Christ. You are not a USB stick that can just be swapped out for another one when it breaks. You are more than data. It's interesting, like when if you were, and I know there's even some people in the room that have experienced this. If you were in an accident where you were to lose a toe or a finger or something like that, I mean, it'd be a horrible, horrible thing. And you can't just go to Walmart and get another one. You can't just pop a new one on. Now, I'm really grateful for things like transplants, and we can do some incredible things medically. What an incredible gift. And I mean, I'm an organ donor. I don't know if you are or not, but because, you know, when my time comes, I'm awaiting my time with Jesus and the resurrection and a brand new body. So if you want the spare parts, go for it. If you can help somebody, that's great. But even with all the incredible wonders of modern medicine, and I'm so grateful that we have it, and it can be so helpful to people, our body parts are not interchangeable. We can do some incredible things, thank God. But you're more than inventory. And we just know that. We are, in the words of Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The interconnections between us. You're more than data. You will always be more than data. And together we are called to be the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Let's not forget what an incredible gift it is to be embodied together. The God who could have chosen any method of coming to the world, of interacting with the world, as his greatest act, he became embodied. And now by the Spirit, while we await his physical return one day to usher in a new heaven and a new earth and make all things new in the meantime, he is embodied in you, in me, in us, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one, what's the word? Body. With tremendous diversity, with tremendous interconnectivity. That it's not just what you think that matters, it's also what you feel. That our touch, our smell, our taste, it all matters. It's all part of who we are. Our hope is not in some disembodied supercomputer. Our ultimate hope is in being more and more and more human, like Christ. The immediate future may be digital, but the distant future, my friends, is entirely biological. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will receive new bodies. What an incredible gift. And in the meantime, together, corporately, we are the body of Christ. And that also means that every part of that body matters, just like every part of your body matters. So in a little bit, we're going to do something that maybe helps us to understand that a little more fully. As you were coming in today, you probably received a puzzle piece, and you might have been puzzled while you're, receiving puzzle pieces in church. And if for some reason you have not yet received a puzzle piece, would you put your hand up and we'll make sure that you get one? And I would ask our greeters to make sure that all of the puzzle pieces are distributed, because towards the end of the service, after communion, here's what I would ask us to do. There are four tables around the room. There's one with a green tablecloth, one with a blue tablecloth, one with a red tablecloth, and one with a purple tablecloth. On the puzzle pieces you've received, some of them have a green background, some of them have a blue background, some of them have a dark purple background, some of them have a red background. And I will invite you, I hope that we would, we're going to build some puzzles together. And I hope this will give us an opportunity to interact with each other a little bit, kind of experience how each one of us has a part to play in Christ's work together. And as you visit the various tables around the room, you can kind of see what picture you are forming together. Yes, it is of, I can't hold on to this stuff, of body parts. Here's the other thing that I think is going to probably happen, because I've been in churches for a while. There is a pretty good chance that somebody is just going to say, I don't want to do it. And that's fair. And rather than pass it to a neighbor or just leave it on the table, you're going to walk out with your puzzle piece. You have the right to do that. So if that's you, this is not a shame thing. But I do want you to realize what is about to happen with that. It's going to be kind of fun. And it's also going to illustrate what we are talking about today. That means that in about 15 minutes, as the service dismisses, and many people will take their puzzle pieces to the appropriate table and start to put a puzzle together, there'll be a few missing pieces. And some of you, and I know who you are, you're all detail-oriented people, my OCD brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is going to drive you nuts. There is going to be puzzles with one or two or maybe more pieces missing, because those puzzle pieces are walking out, literally walking out the door. And it's going to bother you. And that, my friends, is the sermon illustration. That's why I want to do this, because I want it to bother us that every piece matters, because every person matters. Because friends, if you have received Christ as Savior, and I'm also going to give us an opportunity to do that in just a moment. If you've received Christ as Savior, His Spirit has come to live inside you and is doing something new inside of you. And it also connects you to a larger work around the entire world and as is reflected in a local church. You are part of the body of Christ because we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form what? One body. So invite us to bow our heads for a moment and just think about what this means for each of us. You have a part to play in the body of Christ. You are a piece of the puzzle, so to speak. A unique and irreplaceable part of the body of Christ. You are not just data. You are not a part number. You are not interchangeable. You are a part of the body, and we are connected. And so, friends, if you have felt disconnected from God, maybe you've turned your back on Him for a time, for a season, or maybe for a lifetime thus far. And today is a day that you want to take that next step, and you want to turn that around, and you want to commit or recommit your life to Christ. I want to invite you to let's just make eye contact for a moment. I promise I will not put you on the spot. But if that's you, let's connect. Each of us has a part to play in the body of Christ. Lord, thank you that we are connected first and foremost to you. And thank you, Lord, that because we are connected to you, we are connected to one another. Lord, thank you that we are your body here on earth. Lord, may we be faithful parts of your body here on earth. And Lord, we even in this moment, we thank you for the gift of our bodies. Thank you that you chose to work in us and through us. And though you are not limited only to working in us and through us, Lord, thank you that you would choose to do so. Thank you for the privilege of that. Lord, may we together be your body faithfully. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.